T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
But for those people who are, you know, champing, by the way, which is...
No, what? Chomping.
It's chomping.
It's champing.
It's chomping.
Sports Talk Saturday.
The other day when I said chomping on the bit of Twitter, I got 20 people. It's champing.
It's the internet. You know you can't trust
it's
that.
It's champing.
On WGR.
Champing.
Sports Radio 550.
Why did we let that guy in the air?
Some gold drops today from Nate Geary.
Couple of
Nate is my Nate's my hero. He gives me so much bad.
He's a producer's dream.
Yes, he's a producer's dream. He gives me so much content I can create and flip into opens against him.
Yep. Let's roll right through the phone lines here. We're talking some Sabres trades, lineup decisions. Kruger, you know, I'm still happy with him, but why is he not playing these young guys more? Mittelstadt, like, that's the one for me.
Well, especially considering he said yesterday he doesn't think about the age, really, until the media brought it up. So put your money where your mouth is. Like, what he's saying and what he's doing is different.
Yeah. Let's go out to the phone lines. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's go to Jeff in West Seneca. Jeff, you're on Sports Talk Saturday. What's up?
Morning, gentlemen. I was at the game last night. Real good energy. It was real nice to see a win with the shootout. Well, I just had an observation over the last couple games with our defense. I'm real happy to see how we are responding while the opponent has the puck. But when we gain control, I'm seeing a little bit of hesitation, a little bit of confusion, and sometimes a little bit of over-individual play causing turnovers. So I was just calling in to see what you guys would think would be a solid solution to start to reduce those turnovers while we're in our defensive zone.
I think it's vastly different than last year, though. Last year, they just seemed like it was a chicken with their head cut off in the defensive zone. I don't think it's that bad this year.
I think it's just the nature of what they're trying to do. I think you're seeing a lot of stretch passes that are leading to odd man rushes and breakaways.
Yeah.
And I think the flip side of that is you might have an increase in turnovers to start the year, at least. So
I was going to say, we've had an increase in breakaways, too.
Yeah.
From
no,
Buffalo
that's
side.
What I'm saying.
Oh,
like, breakaways going on
the other side, yeah.
So... to me, I would say just keep going the way they're going. I would say just hope that you can get by eating some of those turnovers right away to start the year and not bail on your plan. Like, that's something Housley did right away. Housley got here, and what he wanted to do was have the defensemen rushing up the ice, joining the rush, fast, fluid in the offensive end, and it didn't go well in the first couple of games, and Housley pulled the plug, like, so early on it. Where now, like, the Scandella and Bull U and these guys were always locked in on the blue line. Like, don't move. Like, you can pinch, but don't be flying up on the rush. And Kruger is looking for these long passes, it looks like, and I think that's good because they have the defensemen now that can complete those passes. So I hope they don't get away with it, or I hope they don't get away from it. Because I think that it's going pretty well so far. Like, Mittelstadt almost scores on that breakaway last night. They've had both goals were 2-on-1s, right?
Yep.
Those were more like, they weren't like stretch passes, but they were plays up the ice. Oposo makes a great pass across on both 2-on-1s. So I think it's leading to more odd man rushes up the ice. So even though they're turning it over in their own end, maybe a little bit at a higher clip than normal, I'm fine with it. I wouldn't change it.
And it'll get cleaner, too. I mean, you got Montour coming back soon, so... I think once you add him, that's going to help out.
And he's a puck mover.
Yeah, yep. I think minutes-wise, too, is a big difference here. I think what's been a problem when they got caught in their own zone, specifically when they blew that lead yesterday with only 10 seconds left, Ristolainen and McCabe are out there. And
flopping just, all over the place.
Yeah, like. Those two. I would consider, we mentioned it before the break, maybe breaking that pairing up.
You know, trying
to split it where there's puck movers on each pairing.
To me, what that pairing and what that group on the ice was doing last night that it really frustrates me in hockey is when the game gets to the nitty-gritty like that, it feels like technique and fundamentals all go out the window in the favor of, like, heart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like diving in front of shots to block it instead of challenging the man, keeping your hips tight, keeping them aligned with the forward, and getting your stick out in his space. Like that's really what you should be doing technique-wise, but you want to be the tough guy. You want to be putting your heart and soul out there for your team, and that mentality causes you to be diving in front of shots and trying to block them. Like Larson is flopping on the ice like a fish last night when that tying goal goes in. And I get it. He didn't have a stick at the time, so that matters. But I think that a lot of that happens when you have defensemen like that. And that's why I'd like to see Dahlin playing more, even when they're up a goal like that in those situations. I'd like to see Joakim Haru playing more.
I was
going to
say, even if
Dahlin's
struggling, you have like Miller and Joakim Haru, the Scandella, like you still had other guys that can move the puck and get it out. And
Scandella
that was just
was,
such a problem.
Was playing, just not as much as McCabe.
I'm talking about like that key situation, though, where they're up by one with only a minute left.
Yeah.
And Florida spent almost the entire minute, and it wasn't just that goal. They had scoring chances consistently on that possession, where Ullmark was standing on his head for.
Yeah, Ullmark was tremendous.
He was great yesterday.
Let's go to Zach. Zach, you're on with Joe and Lou. What's up?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Yeah, I'm kind of doing a little backtrack here, back to the Risto topic. You know, I mean, I saw the other day that the Capitals picked up some, like, brutish strength to go for, like, playoff depth-wise, or playoff depth. And I think that's something that we've kind of forgotten around here. Like, I don't want to say it because it's too early, but we might have a solid shot at making the playoffs. And if we want to talk any sort of depth, yeah, speed and skill is important, but if we don't have some kind of enforcer to protect them, we're going to be down to our Rochester guys before we know it.
I mean,
I get what you're saying. Like, Ristolainen in the playoffs, I think, is the exact type of player that, like, gets talked about. It's like a playoff player.
I don't think
but
need an enforcer anymore.
Think about this. If you trade Ristolainen, you still have a ton of depth, a ton of it. And that was kind of a false narrative, I thought, about St. Louis and Boston last year. Like, I remember hearing Barry Melrose, or maybe it was Mike Milbury, like one of those guys on TV, talking about how, like, all these big physical teams, like, they're showing up, these small, like, analytic teams or whatever. I'm like, what are you talking about? St. Louis is fast and skilled.
Yeah.
Like, what? It doesn't make any sense. Boston, same thing. Like, they've still got Chara, but they don't have Lucic's running around anymore. Like, their top line of Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak, they're just racing up and down the ice and outscoring you. So
I feel like that's what, really, the past couple years, the teams that are making deep runs, like San Jose,
St. Louis
is,
did not
you
have
know,
that toughness
Vegas,
enforcer.
Yeah.
Like, they did fine.
I just don't think you need that anymore.
No, like, yeah, exactly. Like, I can have it if the guy can do other things for me.
Yeah.
I think Ristolainen can do that in a role. So
I don't think you're out seeking for that, though. We need an enforcer.
So
if that comes with it, awesome.
I would like to see him on this team if they can get the rest of the forward group figured out and if they can make the numbers work on defense. But I don't need him. I don't think I need him if I'm going to make the playoffs. I think that I'm going to need Dahlin. I'm going to need him to be at the top of his game.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be more important to me. But I do understand where you're coming from because the playoffs are a different animal, and sometimes we forget that because it's been, you know, 9 years since we've been there. So, by the way, funny stat. This is a funny stat, and this guy was not toughness or anything like that at all. The last time the Sabres were in the playoffs, their leading scorer in that series was Marc-Andre Grignani.
Ugh.
And that defenseman was like the opposite of like what Ristolainen is. He's not toughness or cross-checking you or anything like that.
Then we traded him for Sulzer.
Right.
Right?
They won that trade.
What was it? What was the trade total?
It was Cassian and Grignani
for Hodgson
and Sulzer. And Sulzer might have been
the best
player.
I think Sulzer was the reason we won that trade.
Let's go to Jacob. Jacob, you're on with Joe and Lou. What's up? Jacob, you there?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, man.
Hello?
Yep, go ahead. You're
How's
on the
going?
Air.
Sorry. Good. How are you?
Good.
Good. So I was wondering about the whole thought process behind why Sobotka is on the second line. I mean,
great question.
Yep, couldn't tell you.
I think he value to this team at all. I mean, I was just wondering if you guys had any answers. I mean, well, like, why don't we bring up like Thompson or like somebody from the Amherst, or what happens when we get healthy? Like, will we like switch over Rodriguez, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good question. When Cheery comes back, what do they do?
You know what, Jacob? Something that's not being talked about, too, that I would do personally, and if they didn't want to bring up Thompson yet, if they didn't want to bring up C.J. Smith, if they don't want to bump up, I don't know why Rodriguez is in the doghouse, but if they don't want to move him up, if they don't want to move Mittelstadt up. Honestly, you put Sobotka in the minors, you save $1 million. I'd try to see if Jason Palmville would come back for the league minimum,
oh.
which would be under $1 million. You'd basically be paying the same amount of money for Palmville to be in that spot, who scored 16 goals for you the last two seasons. Both of each of the last two seasons, he scored 16. He would be way better on that line to me than Sabatka.
It was
so that's an idea that's not being tossed out a lot that I like.
It was kind of odd seeing him with all the captains during the home opener because, like, I think he could still play.
I do, too. Mean, Jacob, did you have another point on Ristolainen?
So I know you guys talked about a little bit about the trade with him, like, and with Sabatka. Who exactly were you bringing up earlier with the Jets that we would end up getting, that we would potentially get? Like, who would you guys want?
Great question. So Jack Roslovich is the name I'm talking about the most in the past couple days about this idea, but Nikolaj Ehlers would be the player I'm still shooting for. I don't think Winnipeg's willing to trade him, or else I think the trade would have happened already. But that guy is young. That guy is fast. That guy is a top six winger. That guy can score. He can carry the puck. Like, he's a complete offensive player. Is he a little bit, you know, iffy in his own end? Sure. But we're talking about a guy that you could probably buy low on right now because he had a down season last year. He only had 37 points. He did have 21 goals, but only 37 points. The year before that, the 2 years before that, his first two, they weren't his first two. He played as a kid in Winnipeg. So these are his seasons. Rookie in Winnipeg, he had 38 points. Not bad.
Not bad.
Second year in Winnipeg, 64 points. Third year in Winnipeg, 60 points. Last year, 37. So definitely a down year for him. This year, he's got a point a game, 5 points in five games. I think that maybe you could still try to buy low on him.
You're not doing that straight up, are you?
Oh, 100%. If Winnipeg wants to do it, I might give them something else. But I don't think he's on the table, or else I think the trade would be done already. That's my only hold up with it right now. Like, he was the most popular idea for Sabre fans, and I've backed off to, like, Jack Roslovich just because I think if Ehlers was in this trade, it's a no-brainer. I think the Sabres would have pulled it off, so I don't think he's in it.
Is there anyone outside of Winnipeg and Anaheim that we're not thinking of that,
I mean,
maybe more of a, anyone not a young in, player. Is there someone, like, proven right now that, like, even at the deadline – is likely to get moved?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Like, I mean, people aren't just giving out a lot of teams, top six centers.
And so, a lot of teams are just like, a lot of teams have their roster figured out and want to see what it looks like before they make a move like that. Whereas Anaheim and Winnipeg are kind of special circumstances, whereas they've just had, Anaheim had the hole, but Winnipeg has just had guys dropping left and right. Like, Bufflin goes away from the team. Kulikov leaves the team. Beaulieu's got a concussion. They trade Jacob Trouba. Like, they just got a million
then
guys.
Maybe
that just
like
exited.
Like the O'Reilly trade, you don't rush it right now. I mean, you didn't rush it in the summer. At this point, I would almost maybe consider, because those guys will probably still be available down the stretch. Maybe you wait and see who else could be available if those are the only two options. I don't know.
Right. Let's go to Charles. Charles, you are on Sports Talk Saturday. What's up?
Hey, boys. Got an idea why Sabatka might be on the second line, and people might hate it. I might get chastised, whatever. Honestly, at some point, you got to give somebody the chance to succeed or the chance to fail, to be perfectly honest. And if Sabatka can honestly produce, or he can be a good part of that line, maybe the jam on that line, then, you know, you can count that as a success. I don't think you're going to get maybe 10 goals out of the guy.
Well, that's the thing. I don't get the leash. I mean, for me...
Well, Charles, let me ask you. How long is too long? Because he's been on that line for five games now, and Skinner and Johansson are producing. Like, they have almost a point a game each, 4 points in five games. Sabatka doesn't have a point yet. So, like, how long am I supposed to go for with it? With this?
I hear you. I absolutely hear you. But for what I'm going to say, I think it's got to be, and as painful as it will be, at least 15 games. You got to give him that 15 games. You could do what you do with the young guys, or you bring them up for that nine-game stretch or whatever and see if he can succeed or fail. But I honestly think you just got to do it. And if he doesn't, if he remains scoreless through that nine or that 15-game segment, okay, well, that's a fail.
We saw it all last year, though, that he failed too. I mean, it's not like we're just seeing this five games. He's not some young player that's in the league that, oh, maybe he, you know, Mittelstadt. Like, Mittelstadt, you want to give an opportunity to see what he can do. A Rodriguez on that line. I agree with that sentiment of giving a guy a chance. Sabatka's not the one for me to give this leash to. That's not warranted at all, I don't think.
He's 32 years old. He's been in the league now for 11 years. He has one double-digit goal season. So,
and how long ago was that, by the way?
What really, I don't mind your point here, Charles, because I think you're trying to find what maybe Kruger's trying to find, and like in that role. But he's 32 years old.
It's definitely hard to find what he's thinking.
What is that line supposed to do for me? That's not my shutdown line. Marcus Johansson and Jeff Skinner on it, like that's supposed to be a scoring line. Why is Sobotka there? That's the thing. Like, if you want to argue with me that maybe he deserves to be the fourth line center, and maybe you move Mittelstadt somewhere else, like wing, or maybe put him in Rochester for a few games, fine. Like that, I'm not hating that as much. Because then he's playing in a role that he should be playing, like a defensive-minded, defensive zone face-offs, you know, two-way game. I shouldn't even say two-way game because it's really one-way. It's just defense. Why would he ever be on a scoring line? He doesn't score. He has 52 goals. He's been in the league for over a decade.
When was the last time he did score double-digit? Was it anything recent?
2017-18.
Okay.
But one time in 11 years.
Yeah, one time. I mean,
and that it was 11 goals. It's not like that's worthy of being on a second line. I just mentioned Pominville is an idea to bring back on the league minimum for the same money if you bury Sobotka's contract in the minors.
And it'll be an instant upgrade.
He has had how many seasons? Every single season Jason Pominville's had has been over 11 goals.
I used to have a problem. Like sometimes, remember, Foligno used to play on the top six. He at least could offer some sort of...
Right.
Like he wasn't a top six player, but... You know, he had some sort of offensive ability. Sobotka, I have never seen it. And again, last year, he got all the opportunities.
It's not there.
Yeah, and he would be put out in 3-on-3 last year in overtimes. You've seen what you're going to get from him. There is no more, like, there's no upside here. There's no ceiling that's going to be reached now.
It's just confusing to me because of what that line is. Like, it doesn't
make sense. Is it just a comfort factor about having a veteran? I mean, that's the only thing I can think of, is that he's a veteran. That's it. Doesn't have to do with his actual performance.
I wonder if it might just be face-offs, which I think would be outrageous if that's the reason he's on a second line, is that Johansson hasn't played center in a couple of years. They want to take some of the burden off him with his responsibilities down the middle, so let's put a defensive-minded center with him. If that's the reasoning, though, I think that's flawed reasoning. I think that's crazy. You're valuing face-offs like that over what that line is supposed to do for you. They have... Johansson has 2 goals. Skinner has 2 goals. They have 4 points each. Sobotka has nothing. You wonder if they might be producing more had they had a competent offensive player that does not get lost
that's
in
the
offensive end
part
like
is,
17 does.
That's the frustrating part is you see those two guys. Like their chemistry is super good right now, even on the penalty kill yesterday. You would imagine that line is like they're producing right now. The other two, Skinner and Johansson.
Yep.
If they added one more guy, that could be a special line.
It definitely could be. It's already better than their second line from last season.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll say that. But I liked Chad DeDomenicis' idea that when Sherry comes back, put VC up there. Because, yeah, I'd like to see if you can get him going.
VC's had, at least 15 goals the first couple of seasons?
Yeah, he's like a
15-goal
scorer. So, like,
it's more than Sobotka can say.
It would be on his offside, but, I mean, on his backhand, I think he's got a better shot. Honestly.
Like, I think he's got a better everything. I mean, the offensive. I'm talking offense because that, like
well,
you
that's
said,
what that
that's
line
not
is.
A shut. It's not a fourth line.
They have their shutdown line. Larson, Girgensen, Okposo. That's their shutdown line. If you want another defensive line,
I don't want
go
more than
throw
one.
Somebody better than Mittelstadt on that line.
I don't want more than one of those. I'll take one shutdown line. That's it.
Also, I know
I want 3 scoring lines. I want to be Pittsburgh. Remember when they were winning cups? Phil Kessel is your third line center. I mean,
you mean Jordan Staal?
Well, no, I'm talking about recently.
Well, Phil Kessel's not a center.
Well, I'm sorry, but like the third line. Remember how good their third line was?
Yeah, it was like Rust,
it was
Sherry, and Kessel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're right. But
don't need more than one.
They don't have the personnel to do it. So now.
Yeah, but they have the personnel to not have Sobotka on the second line.
That,
it doesn't matter what
exactly
your personnel is. That's
exactly what I was going to say.
They don't need that.
I want to see CJ Smith up here. Like I do. I don't know what he's got to do. He's scoring in the AHL. He has some good scoring opportunities when he's up here. He's not, and he scored okay. Like, he's got a couple of goals in a couple of games. So, give him a shot. And he's not some kid either. CJ Smith is like 24 years old at this point. Like, it's go time. Get him in the lineup or he's never, why even have him? Just to be an AHL player? CJ Smith, by the way, he's going to be 25. And 13 games, I mean, 2 goals, 1 assist. It's not a lot at all. But you look at goals per 60 minutes, it's higher. It's a lot higher than Sobotka's. So give a guy like that a shot. Find out what you've got down there. Or else, I don't know what you're doing here anymore. 803-0550 is the phone number. We're actually going to hear from Sabres GM Jason Botterill when we come back. Great visit with him, with Paul Hamilton and Bulldog yesterday in the afternoon show. Goes over a bunch of stuff that great start to the season. A lot of what we've talked about tonight, like the heavy numbers on the blue line, them being right up against the salary cap, and more. So we'll have Jason Botcher for you next. Sports Talk Saturday, Joe DiBiase, Lou DiBiase, and Derek Kramer here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday with Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase here on WGR. We promised the Sabres GM for you, so here he is, Jason Botterill, on the afternoon show yesterday with Bulldog and Paul Hamilton. Here's the Sabres GM.
Jason, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Nice to see you.
Very good to see you guys. Beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. I got out on the lake on a boat this afternoon.
That's fortunate.
I'm
very
a boat
fortunate.
Guy now.
And what are you doing here?
Well, you know, Mike's in Florida, you know, so I had to come. Congrats on the start. I don't know. Is that a weird thing to say after only 4 games?
No, look, we're certainly happy how training camp all went. We're excited about the start of the season, and I think – you know, what's good about our team right now is we're finding ways to win hockey games, but there's certainly a lot of points that our coach and staff can go over with our players and what we have to improve on. But you take a step back, and especially last Saturday, just the atmosphere in the building, having all our captains back, it was good. It was a fun experience. I think hopefully our fans really enjoyed it. I know our players did. You know, something small like Jack being out there with all those other captains. It was a great experience sort of to reflect on things. So it was a good way to start the season off. Now it's imperative that we continue to build off of it.
Jason, how about your new guys? A guy like Joakim Harju, here's a 20-year-old in Pittsburgh, first night.
Yep.
He's killing penalties. He's out in pressure situations right away. I mean, there's no hesitation. I talked to Colin Miller yesterday. He's talking about how he's helping Rasmus Dahlin and almost like a tutor for him. Just any questions that he has, and he's helping him, and he enjoys that role.
Yep.
He likes to do things. He goes, I really haven't had a chance to do that in other places I've been in, and is relishing it. So, Mike, when you're trading for those guys or signing a guy like Johansson, who also is a guy that guys have talked about in the room,
yep.
Is that part of it when you're looking to trade for guys, or especially in these three cases, that you know exactly not only what you're getting on the ice, but what these guys are going to contribute to the team off the ice?
Without a doubt. We obviously know we have some very talented players in our organization that don't have playoff experience. So the fact that we can go out, we're looking to add players to our skill level to help out how we want to play the game. But to bring in a player like Marcus Johansson, who was in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals last year, I think he's been in playoffs 8 of his 9 years in the National Hockey League. That's experience that's going to help our team out a lot. Colin Miller, you know, 2 years ago playing in the Stanley Cup Finals in Vegas there. We know as much as we like our start, we're going to face adversity over 82 games. We have to do a better job of, as an organization, when adversity hits, we play with a little bit more calmness and a little bit find a way to get through those difficult stretches. So that's why we are bringing these, you know, veteran players in that can help out our group here. With a player like, you know, Henry Joakim Harju, what we really liked about seeing him last year, you know, 19 years old last year, and he wins a World Junior gold medal and a World Championship gold medal. So although he's very young, at 20 this year, he's already played a half season in the National Hockey League, played in pressure situations and handled it very well. And I think, you know, you saw that in Pittsburgh, but what I really liked was his game, you know, on Wednesday against Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things get a little hectic there, 4-4. He's still skating extremely well. He's still making those breakout passes and just allowed us to get out of our zone. And it's great to see our players playing their game in tight situations like that.
It's funny, your coach said today when we ask about him, he goes, I'll be honest with you, he goes, until you actually brought up his age, mm-hmm. he goes, I don't think of him as a 20-year-old. He goes, I don't go into the game thinking, well, he's at 20 years old. I wonder if I – he goes, I expect whether you're 20 or 35, if you're on the team, we're going to put you in situations and we expect you to be able to handle the situation. He might be the first coach I think has ever said that, because a lot of coaches won't play 20-year-olds. They'll sit him on the bench.
Yep.
And he's like, honestly, until you ask the question, I don't even sit there and think that he's a 20-year-old.
Yep. And that's what we like with a lot of our younger players. Henry's included in that, Rasmus Dahlin. These guys are very mature for their age. And even a player like Casey Mittelstadt, the development path has been a little steeper the last couple of years just because you're coming from Minnesota High School all the way to the National Hockey League. But he has a much better grasp of what he needs to do to have success on the ice. And you just see the way how he conducted himself last summer, you know, in the weight room working on his body, that we eventually think is going to transfer over onto the ice. So I like that our players have been serious about making sure they're in good shape and ready to take on those opportunities. And I've been very happy with our coaching staff that they've had the open mind to put those young players, if they're ready for it, they're going to be in those situations.
Ralph Kruger's name came up before you hired your first coach, Phil Housley. Mm-hmm. And that sounded like a really intriguing, very interesting idea to, I don't know, some of us, me included. Like, I thought, like, okay, out of the box, I think this is pretty exciting. And, of course, it didn't happen. Last year, word before you hired him was that it might be more of an executive role if he returns to the NHL. And here he ends up, he's behind your bench. Like,
yep.
I'm sure you've told the story already, but I it's our first chance to sit with you since you hired him. How did that kind of come together? Because on one hand, it might look like you convinced him to take the job, and that's not always a great idea.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit of the background of how, like, Ralph came to end up being your coach.
Well, there's some storylines in there. Obviously, I grew up in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Ralph grew up in Manitoba. My father actually taught Ralph in grade 5 at a private school in Winnipeg there. But I'd never really spent that much time with Ralph, hadn't interacted with him. And when I got the position here in Buffalo, Jim Rutherford suggested I talk to Ralph. Jim Rutherford, while he was in Carolina, had worked with Ralph. He was on their scouting staff. And when Ralph was a head coach with Team Switzerland, he also did some part-time scouting with the Carolina Hurricanes, and just felt that he could be a good mix with myself and what we're trying to accomplish here in Buffalo. Obviously, at the time, Ralph still was working on this project in Southampton, couldn't come over, so we moved on from there. But we certainly stayed in touch through the process. And then after we made a decision last April, I did reach out to Ralph, and we had a conversation in New York that there wasn't an NHL job on. You could tell that he enjoyed being an executive at Southampton and enjoyed that experience. But at the end of the day, Ralph has a very creative resume the last few years. But yeah, at the end of the day, he's a kid from Manitoba who loves the game of hockey. And I think that's when we started talking is how we see the game, how we want this team to play, how we want to interact with our players was very similar from that standpoint. And I think that's what our players really resonate with right now. There's a simplicity to Ralph. There's an ability for him to talk to him. But also I think our players realize how excited he is about being in Buffalo and being a head coach and being on that front line right now instead of in the boardroom dealing with owners, dealing with agents, something like that, helping players become the best they can in the front line. And I think that passion that he sees, our players feed off of that, and it's been a very good experience so far.
Do you think if he hadn't come to the conclusion that he wanted to get back behind a bench, you would have found a role for him as an executive somewhere in the organization?
I couldn't even tell you that for sure. Just look, all our conversations had always been around coaching, and that's where I felt his passion, that's what he wanted to do. He was excited about that. I think in the back of his head, you'd have to ask him straight up, but at the end of the day, his first go around in the National Hockey League didn't go as planned. I think what I've always really enjoyed with Ralph is people go through a lot of experiences. Sometimes they don't always pull information or learn from that. Ralph, whatever experience he's been through, whether it's coaching a Premier League team, coaching the Olympics, coaching the World Championship, coaching the NHL, he learns from it, and I think he does a great job of passing that information on to other people in the organization and, more importantly, his players.
How challenging this year is salary cap management going to be for you? I know you've been able to use some dollars with long-term injury reserve, and I don't know for sure, but I would imagine Bogosian will get back sometime or another.
Yep.
So how challenging is that going to be for you this year to be able to manage the salary cap that maybe you haven't had those problems in past years?
No, and we certainly understood that when we made the decision to sign Marcus Johansson that we'd be close to the salary cap. And but we also felt that his addition was necessary for our team to take a step this year. And I think the thing that we've tried to set up is we certainly want to have the ability each summer to add to our team and be able to keep our young players that are coming through our system. But we also want to have that flexibility. So that's part of the reason why we have a lot of, you know, contracts that are coming off the books each year. And so from we understand you look around the league, it will be an issue for us, or at least it will be part of the discussions throughout the year. But it's you look at so many of the top teams, you look at so many teams without the league, they're all going to be right at the very top. So I do think it's going to go it's going to come into play a lot from a trade perspective. It's going to have to be dollars in, dollars out. There's not a lot of teams that are going to just be able to take on extra salary unless they run into a significant long-term injury.
Will it affect to a point where you have to wait until a certain time of day where you call somebody up, or isn't it that critical?
It's not that critical right now for us, but you always want to keep your options open. That's why we made some adjustments before the season started in Pittsburgh that people may not always understand, but it just gives us the flexibility moving forward there, because you just never know what can happen in the future. And we always want to have that balance to me making the smart decision from a salary cap perspective, but we never want to make sure that it doesn't hurt our product on the ice, and make sure that our team is always covered from that perspective.
Paul mentions Bogosian there. Before the season started, Ralph Krueger said something to the effect of there were setbacks since he had the procedure he had. Is there a timeline on him at this point, or is it just out there?
It's just out there for right now. Coming off of hip surgery, you're always going to run into, it's a difficult rehab. It's a serious injury, and it's a serious surgery. And obviously it's been documented, the injuries that Zach's had. We're very key and very focused on making sure when he does come back, he's 100%, not only for our team this year, but also for his career long term.
All right. He's another defenseman. Montour is much shorter term, right? It's a few weeks now that he'll be back. I'm wondering eventually, I guess the salary cap question Paul asks sort of builds into this too, but you've got a lot of bodies back there.
Well, it's always a concern, and then you ran into the injuries that we have already. And that's what we talked a lot during the summer, that we ran into a lot of injuries before even game one of the regular season this year. So you have to be ready for that. And that was one of the things that we sat down as a group a lot during the summer, talked about adding to this group. We didn't handle things as well as we wanted to in the second half. We didn't need a whole revamp, but we wanted to add it to it. That's why we brought in a Jimmy Vc and Marcus Johansson. That's why we added more depth in Henry Yokiharju and Colin Miller. And it always seems to see, like, you look at, I think we have 9 games in the first 17 days. Our players get banged up. And especially in this season, I think our players are really looking forward to going over to Sweden. And I think it's going to be a great experience for us to go over there. And the NHL does a very good job in sort of helping us with the schedule before or after that. But it really condenses our other games and the rest of the time. And it's going to be imperative that we have the depth at every position. And it's part of the reason why tonight we have Allmark and Nett. It's not going to be like who's our number one goalie. We're going to have to utilize both of them throughout the year.
That's Sabres GM Jason Botterill. We'll take a timeout here, and we'll bring you more of that visit from yesterday after this on WGR. All right, welcome back. Last segment here on Sports Talk Saturday with Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase on WGR. Let's finish up with the Sabres GM. Here's Jason Botterill with Bulldog and Paul.
Rasmus Dahlin, he's got 7 points through 4 games. I don't expect him to end up with 140 on the season. I mean, that'd be great, but, you know. But
we'll take that if he wants to do
that.
Yeah,
good. How much, though, more can you expect from the guy? It dawned on me talking the other day, maybe with Rob Rager in one of these shows. I don't know. The draft year is unlike any other year. You know, you play your season, and then there's, especially when you're the anointed number one pick, there's just stuff, right? And it never really ends, and then the season's here. And, oh, by the way, it's an 82-game season. Welcome to the pros, kid. I think, you know, after an off season of being able to just be 19 and train and work, I wonder if you see a difference in him already just from having had, a normal off season as opposed to all the stuff that went with being the number one pick.
No, you certainly see it, and that's what we love. All our coaches love working with Rass, is just because he knows what he has to work on. He wants to put the time in. And I think just from a physical standpoint, his lower body strength, he looks bigger and stronger out there. And I'm a big believer in the World Championships. If you're not in the playoffs, I think you should get used to playing hockey in the springtime. And I think, I thought it was a great experience for someone like Sam Reinhart to go over there and Jack to go over there this past year. But I also think it was great that Rasmus Dahlin didn't go this past year. You know, you look at that lead up to the draft, there is so much going on. for especially someone like that in Sweden, coming over to North America, going back and forth quite a bit. The excitement, the draft, and you come in for development camp and everything, and then you have the rookie tournament. And I think, you know, Rasmus will say, like, people can talk to you about the grind of the National Hockey League over 82 games, but until you actually go through it, it's difficult to comprehend. And Rasmus was just like our entire team. We have to be better from that All-Star break on. And what I like about him is he's certainly learned from it. He understands a bit more, and he's always going to have the hockey sense in the brain. And I think just adding that extra strength is going to help him a lot more down low in the offensive zone, handling positioning. And he has such a great brain, too. It's one that added strength, but now he also knows some of the moves of other players. So he's building sort of a resume, a book on, you know, how do I defend him against some of the top players out there and stuff. So every time, he's still going to make mistakes. He's a young kid. It's part of the growing as a young defenseman. But his ability to learn from those mistakes is very impressive. And that communication with both Steve Smith and Ralph Krueger, it's why he's a very talented player and very fortunate to have him in our organization.
Fans want Casey Mittelstadt today to be where he's supposed to be as a player. And you know development of young players. I use Nate MacKinnon as a perfect example of a guy who played 4 years before he ever touched 90 points. He was around 50 or so. Couturier of Philadelphia is another example. Could Casey fall into that too, where maybe it's going to take him 3 or 4 years to reach the potential he is, and just because he doesn't do it this year doesn't mean, well, it's all said and done, let's move on?
Yeah, players are always going to adapt and develop at different time frames here, and especially a player coming out of Minnesota high school and making that leap. And you know, it took time for Jack Eichel too, but Jack was a physical specimen stepping into the National Hockey League at age 18 and 19. Casey had to work on his physical body and stuff, and I think he certainly did that over the summer. It's always the expectations, too. Like, Casey comes in at the end of the season, produced some points there out of after his freshman year at Minnesota, and it's difficult. It's sometimes not the truth, not reality of it, and how difficult the season, once you get to the start of the regular season and going through all 82 games, how difficult of a grind it really is. And what we've liked a lot from Casey's game is, even when things didn't go as well as he wanted maybe in training camp, he continued to work on his game, and I thought he got better throughout the entire training camp. I thought he played very well, making those small, tight plays in the game in Pittsburgh there. Look, I thought it was going to be a great mix there with Connor Sheary right off the bat. It's disappointing that Connor's out right now, because I think he can be a player that helps Casey along and just you know, have some good matchups along the way there and stuff. But we see the hockey sense. I think you see that with Ralph continuing to put Casey out there in power play situations. I think we have, you know, there's a lot of focus obviously on our first power play right now and the success of Victor Olofsson. But the fact that we have two really good units here right now that can be utilized out there helps things out a lot. And just that little playoff, or excuse me, power play experience, I think will hopefully help Casey through this development process.
All right. I think we're good. I always want to ask you, you know, first visit of the year, this could go on forever, but, you know, we have a whole season. So
we got a whole season. We'll come back.
I would be negligent if I didn't ask about the big goalie. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, what's his situation?
Again, we're getting close to, again, hip surgery. We talked about it, the severity of the situation for a player like Zach Bogosian, well, especially for a goaltender, too.
Right.
And the great thing for UPL is he's been here all, you know, for the last few months here working with our guys, and it's been great. You know, again, we hope to have a time frame in the near future here, but we don't have it exact right now, but we're hoping here to move the line, and everything's been going very well with his
rehab. Was it the same procedure that Ullmark had a couple of years ago? I don't think you were here when Ullmark had it done, but do you know?
I couldn't tell you exactly the exact extent from Ullmark's injury, but it was a situation where, and that's the beauty of what UPL did last year. You know, you win a gold medal at the World Juniors. You have be one of the best goalies in the Ontario Hockey League, and he was doing that with this injury throughout the entire time too. So, you talk about a player really taking a step for his development.
Yeah.
He's been interacting with us a lot, making that step going from Finland to Sudbury last year. You know, we've really enjoyed working with him, and we'll certainly be patient with young goaltendings. You have to, but. Just his mental toughness that he's shown is something that we're excited about his potential.
When he gets healthy, will he go to Rochester?
He'll that's a situation where he'll go to Rochester, and we'll decide whether he starts in Rochester or Cincinnati.
Okay, very good. Thank you for this.
No problem at
good
all.
Good luck tonight, and we'll see you in a few weeks or so.
All right, have a good evening, guys.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks, Lou, for being here. Thanks, Derek, for running the board. Thanks to Chad DeNemesis for joining us at noon. So I'll be back with you on Monday. I got a nightcap for you on Monday night after the Sabres matinee game. So I'll talk to you then. This has been Sports Talk Saturday with Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.